Well, how can we get to heaven? In very simple words, that's what the man asked Jesus, as we read just now, isn't it? How can we get to heaven? 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus start a long journey to Jerusalem and the cross. And as he travels, he is teaching his friends, his disciples. Last week, he sent them out on a mission trip. And we saw their message and their motivation. Their message, our message, that Jesus is the King. And a crucial message, sadly, we often fail to present it properly. But there is forgiveness through Jesus because of our motivation that if we trust in his death, we are God's children. That's what we found last week. Now, as Jesus travels, he's training his messengers. But what's he teaching? Very simply, perhaps over simply, but helpfully, he's answering a question. The question comes at the end of the journey, Luke chapter 18, verse 18. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the question comes at the start of the journey as well, in our reading tonight, this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. See that with me, would you? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And all the way to Jerusalem, Jesus is in some sense answering that question. Of course, eternal life is more than heaven. Eternal life is a relationship to know God as Father through the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, by his Holy Spirit. Wonder if you know God. I wonder if you know God. And as we look beyond the grave, the question becomes this: how can we get to heaven? It's a question we all need to ask. We have 2 points this morning. The first is this: love so much, but you can't do it. In verses 25 to 29, love so much, but you can't do it. Look down with me, would you please? Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love so much. Presumably Jesus is teaching a crowd, and suddenly one man stands up, a smart looking man. Perhaps he's an expert in the law, not our law, it means the Bible. He's a Bible expert. And he's checking out, perhaps, this cheeky young preacher, Jesus. What must I do to inherit, to get eternal life, he asks. I wonder if you've ever asked someone a question and they've looked at you and they've said, well, what do you think? Now, that's what Jesus does. Essentially, Jesus asks the man, what does the Bible say? What must we do to get eternal life, to get to heaven? Well, the expert says, the Bible says, you've got to love so much. Verse 27, love the Lord your God with all... How does it go? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting what would have been the most famous Bible verse back then, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. The Bible is clear, God deserves our love. Suppose you paint a picture, okay? You're at home, you paint a picture. Imagine that. Now, who does that picture belong to? It's yours, isn't it? Now imagine somehow, one day you're passing a charity shop and there in the window you see your picture and you buy it. Well, now it really, really belongs to you, doesn't it? The Bible says God made us. We belong to him as that picture belongs to you that you painted. Jesus says we disobey God and we deserve his punishment. It is terribly serious as we face the grave. Who then can be saved, Jesus' friend said one day. Jesus replied, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God has brought us back if we trust in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross in our place as we follow him. And so Christians really, really belong to God. All I have is God's. He deserves all my love. But I wonder what we love the most. I wonder what we love the most. A person, a gadget, a job, a hobby, a house, the garden, the weekend, clothes, a toy perhaps, our toys. What do we love the most? What do we daydream about? What do we get angry about? What won't we share? What can't we live without? That is what we love the most. But it's wrong. We must love God so much. What does that mean? Does that mean we must not love anybody else because we're loving God with everything that we have? No, we must love others. It says here, love your neighbour as yourself. But we love them out of love for God. One way we must love God is to love others. It's part of our love for God. It's a bit like this. I love my wife with all my earthly love. I don't love anyone else like I love my wife. But that's precisely why I care for her friends as well. That's part of my love for her. Well, in the same way, we must give God all our love. But it's part of that. He calls us to love the people he's made as well. As much as we love ourselves. As much as we love ourselves. I love myself an awful lot. I care for my every need. You know, if I'm hungry, I have a biscuit. If I'm a bit hot and sweaty, I have a hot shower. If I've got an itch, I just scratch that itch. I care for my every need. And it says here, love your neighbour as yourself. Love so much. What must I do to get eternal life, to go to heaven? The expert says love so much. But the trouble is we can't. We can't do it. Jesus says to the experts, have a look at verse 28 with me. Verse 28, Jesus says, he says, you've answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. In other words, you're right. As the Bible says in Leviticus 18 verse 5, keep my laws for the person who obeys them will live by them. But we've got a problem. We can't perfectly obey God's laws. I can't perfectly obey. I suggest you can't either. The embarrassed expert squirms, perhaps. He knows he can't do it. He wants to force the door into eternal life. So he comes up with a really clever idea. He needs to make it easier. So he says, verse 29. See with me, verse 29. He wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? If I'm going to get into heaven my way, then it needs to be easier. When I was a lad, I used to play computer games. And you had the choice, I don't know if you still do, of like a beginner level or an intermediate level or an advanced level. I'd always choose the beginner level because I knew then I could do it. I could win. And this expert, if you like, he wants beginner level love so he can do it by himself. He knows he can't love more than a few people, nice people, friends. So he says, and who is my neighbour? Verse 29 says he wants to justify himself. He wants to pretend that he is good. He wants to deserve eternal life as a prize. We gave prizes today. He wants to deserve it as a prize to go to heaven. How can we get to heaven? We've got to love so much, but we can't. And so the expert tries to make it easier. What if we too make excuses for our wrongdoing? We pretend it's okay to be naughty, a bit naughty this time. Because, well, it's been so long that I've been quite good, actually. Or we pretend it's okay to be naughty in one area, maybe to get drunk or to have tantrums or to look at those wrong pictures. We pretend that's okay because we're so good in other ways. No. No excuses. We've got to love so much. We need perfect love, love for God, love for others. But we can't do it. let's not think we can go to heaven because we're quite good. That'd be like saying we can go to the moon in our toy radio-controlled aeroplane. Let's not think we can get in because our families are Christians. It's like saying, I can mend your broken leg because my dad's a doctor. And let's not be surprised when people let us down, even Christians. If I'm not a very good person, chances are others won't be either. Let's not get sinfully angry or disillusioned. What must we do to get eternal life? We've seen first, love so much, but we can't. So is there another way? Or are we all doomed? Secondly, then, love so much, but someone's done it. Love so much, but someone's done it. Verses 30 to 37. The experts just asked, who's my neighbour? And Jesus tells us a story. Let's see Jesus' story in verse 30. Look down. Would you? Verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Before we finish the story, just picture the scene. Imagine the brown, dusty road, winding down steeply between red, rocky cliffs, mottled perhaps with shadowy caves. Would that be where the robbers burst from? As this man is walking along, and the robbers hit him again and again, they steal his clothes. And now he's lying all alone. Later, as we peer over, two men walk by, a Levite and a special kind of Levite called a priest. Now, you'd have thought they were good people. They worked in the temple. The priest gave special sacrifices. They should have been good. But if you've ever crossed the road to avoid someone, that's exactly what they did. They weren't in a rush. It looks, as far as we can tell, like they were travelling home away from Jerusalem, from the temple. But they did rush. Later, maybe the shadows get longer as a dodgy-looking man turns up. Now let's see him from verse 33. A Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. This dodgy-looking character who turns up now, well, he's a Samaritan. And back then, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. The man on the floor, we take it, is a Jew. And the Bible says the Jews and Samaritans are not friends, not at all. That's John chapter 4, verse 9. Check it out later. They hated each other more than rival football teams. The relationship between Jews and Samaritans, if I can say this was worse than apartheid. But what does the Samaritan do? He stops and cares for the man with enormous love. It's like a Taliban rescuing a wounded British soldier. It's extraordinary. The Samaritan risks his life. Who knows when robbers would rush down again? What would he use for a bandage? Maybe his own shirt? He pulls out his precious bottle of drink to clean the wounds. He puts the man on his own donkey and takes him to a nice hotel. The Samaritan stays up all night long, I guess, giving this poor man water, cleaning up the mess. At breakfast, he sits and writes out a blank check, or he would in our time, a blank check for the hotel. However long it takes, just look after him, and I will pay. That is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. How can we get to heaven love so much. We can't do it, but someone's done it. Now have a look with me at verse 36 to see what that means, would you? Verse 36. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now why does Jesus tell the story? On the one hand, the expert just asked him who his neighbor is. Love your neighbor, and not just the guy next door. Love even the Samaritans. Love anybody. That's what God calls us to do. But of course, we all fail. We can't do it. So could there be more to this story? You see, if this was only telling us to behave better, then hasn't Jesus got it the wrong way around? Why is... The expert is a Jew, okay? So why is the man on the floor a Jew and not a Samaritan? Why is the man who cares for the man on the floor a Samaritan and not a Jew like the expert? Could it be there's something else going on here? Has anyone actually ever loved like that Samaritan loved? This is a story, isn't it? Has anyone ever actually loved this much? Who saw us in trouble? Beaten up inside by our wrongdoing. Beaten up by others' wrongdoing. Who saw us waiting to die and face God's judgment? Isn't it Jesus? Who saw us as his enemies, living our way, not his, as if he hadn't made us? But who loved us enough to get down in the mud and rescue us? Isn't it Jesus? He didn't just risk his life, he gave his life. In Jesus, God took his own punishment for my wrongdoing. He gives not just his shirt and his money, he gives unlimited friendship and forgiveness with God. If we trust in him, he heals our bruised souls very gently day by day as we trust in him. So how can we get to heaven? We've got to love so much. We can't do it. But Jesus has done it for us. I see that in black and white. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Love so much and Jesus has done it. How can we get to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's a bit like this. Imagine we're in the freezing dark sea. We're sinking. We can see land, but we can't swim. We see a man on the land. He can swim. It's like it's Jesus. He dives into the deathly gloop. He swims and carries us to safety on his shoulder. It cost him his life. But he wins. Love so much and Jesus has done it. Perhaps you realize today you're not a Christian. You're not a real Christian. What must I do to inherit eternal life, to know God, to know to heaven? The answer, as we turn to the final slide, there we are, is to trust and follow Jesus. Won't you trust Jesus today? I mean, when you say to God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've lived life my way and not yours. Thank you. Thank you that Jesus died in my place. He's done everything to save me. Won't you trust Jesus today? And won't you follow Jesus today? I mean, won't you say to God, thank you that Jesus is in charge. Please let Jesus be in charge of my life. Then Jesus will reply, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. No one can snatch you out of my hand. John 10:28. And as we go on in the Christian life, did you notice Jesus' final words to the expert in verse 37? Jesus says, go and do likewise. So as we're there in the dark water and Jesus is swimming to safety on land with us, carrying us, there in the dark water around us are the drowning souls. And when we reach out with the love and message of Jesus, Jesus alone can give us the motivation and strength to go and love others as ourselves. Not to get eternal life, but because we have eternal life. So I must stop loving people only when I want to. Only when they're starving on the other side of the world. Only when someone's doing a bungee jump for it. No, love your neighbour as yourself, Jesus said. I must stop loving people only as much as I want to. Only when I've paid for the holiday and the gadget and the wardrobe. No, love your neighbour as yourself, Jesus said. I must stop loving people only if they say thank you. Love your neighbour as yourself. Let's start at home. Who lives next door? Who works across the desk from you at school? Who's sad? Who's on their own? Let's start at home. And let's be ambitious. There are parts of Chippenham where one third of children live in poverty, where children are missing on meals. They need our love. But most of all, whether at home or in the public, most of all they need to hear about the Lord Jesus for hope, not just for this life, but for heaven. It's easy to think of ways other people can do that loving or can take that message. If someone should do this, someone should do that. The better question is, what can I, as the person I am, with the gifts that I have, what can I do? Not to get into heaven. Jesus has done all that. Trust him for that. But because walking joyfully at his side, he leads us in love. Well, we trust and follow.